Get the buzz and be seen at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now, welcome to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Thank you for tuning in. My guest today is Mr. Joel Levy, who is the owner of Joel I. Levy, CPA, the entrepreneur CPA. Joel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's jump right into it, Joel. Tell us about your company, Joel I. Levy, CPA.
Well, we are a full-service accounting and tax organization. We work for businesses and individuals, helping them find their way through this ever-changing maze of accounting and tax that the government throws at us. And it can be very ominous for the average person.
It can be ominous. Why? How can it be ominous? Describe that for us, please.
Well, there are a lot of things that that people are not necessarily aware of that they can do to put themselves in a better tax situation or prepare better for their tax situation. And basically, just so there are no surprises when you're going to do your taxes. I mean, look, you make money, you can do what you can save taxes, you can, there are plenty of legitimate ways to do that. But if you make money, you're going to pay some taxes. But the idea is prepare for it, know about it, minimize it where you can. But it shouldn't be a major obstacle. If you plan properly, you can. It can be overcome in good shape.
And that makes sense. Joel, you call yourself the entrepreneur CPA. Why do you call yourself the entrepreneur CPA?
Well, I do that because I do a lot of work with professionals who are starting new businesses, who are in businesses for themselves, and have the entrepreneurial spirit that a lot of Americans have. To start a small business, work for themselves, be able to be at family outings and ball games and not be tied to the 9-to-5 white shirt and black tie that some of us grew up with. And still be able to handle what needs to go into running a business, managing it, working with employees, making sure you communicate with customers efficiently. Lot of things that go into running a business today, and I try to take the accounting and tax function off the shoulders of the business owner so he can concentrate on running his business and managing his business.
Do you find that many businesses start and figure they don't need a CPA right now because they don't have the cash flow at that point? Is that dangerous?
Well, Sharon, that is a terrific question because that truly is one of the biggest pitfalls I see in for business for people going into a business. I mean, it's like going into surgery without having a good scalpel or doctor. You know, you need the tools in order to be efficient, and by consulting with a professional, whether it be the legal side, the accounting side, the banking, the insurance side, you're making sure that your company is set up properly. I mean, to go and start a business and then have the IRS come in because you didn't do something properly, it could put you out of business faster than you can say Jack Robinson. And truly, there are not a lot of things you have to do, but if you follow the rules and set yourself up properly, you can make yourself so the IRS will not want to look at you. You know, you pay what you're supposed to, you file when you're supposed to, but a lot of people don't realize that there are some requirements that have to be maintained on an ongoing basis.
Well, can't TurboTax just solve their problem, save them some money, and answer all those tax questions for them?
Well, TurboTax is unfortunately, while there are a lot of good things about TurboTax, but it is limited in that you do have to have some accounting, some tax knowledge. And Sharon, TurboTax is really just to prepare personal tax returns. It's not for a business person who's looking to keep his books and keep his records. Someone who would use like a QuickBooks program or a Peachtree program or something a little more sophisticated. But TurboTax is a pitfall, I think, for a lot of tax preparers because it is a tax software that non-professionals use. And by checking the wrong box, you can put yourself in a situation that could cost you tax, or worse, cost you aggravation with the IRS.
That sounds dangerous.
Well, and it may not be dangerous in terms of owing money, but the aggravation of dealing with responding to IRS letters, getting documentation, is just sometimes overwhelming. And at that point, you'd wish you could pay any amount of money to get them off your back. But of course, by then, it's too late.
So I hear you saying that entrepreneurs or anyone starting a business or even in business for a while should have a CPA or a tax professional to work with them as early as possible. Is that what I hear you saying?
You hear me saying that loud and clear, and even going one step further, it really isn't just an accounting or tax professional. When someone goes into business, they should have a good attorney, they should have a good banker, they should have a good insurance agent, they should have somebody watching their IT systems. I mean, going into business today is challenging, and to not have that support around you is you're taking one of the great benefits and or you're losing some cheap insurance to try to make sure your business becomes successful.
Well, Joel, what separates you from other CPAs? What makes you special?
I really pride myself on being trying to be proactive and service my clients. I send regular newsletters out to keep them up to date on what's going on and some of the changes that are happening in the tax world. Of course, not all of them, because there wouldn't be enough time to read all of that. But I try to do that. And of course, when a client calls or emails, I try to respond promptly, let them know that I care about them and that I'm concerned with doing the right thing and helping them to answer whatever question or issues come up.
I've heard that some CPAs don't call their customers back. Are you like that, Joel?
Well, I don't know that I'd be in business for 35 years if I treated my customers like that. And it blows me away, because I will go out to meet with a prospective client, and one of the questions I ask, because I don't want to make the same mistakes, I says, why are you leaving your current CPA? And more often than not, it's because he doesn't respond to my emails or phone calls. And I feel like I'm in a service business. And if I can't be there for my client and respond when they need me, then what do they need me for?
Very good. It's good to know that you're there. And it sounds like I'm hearing that you care about your clients, as all businesses and services should. You actually make it happen, Joel. Well, what is the primary focus of Joel Levy CPA?
Well, the primary focus really, as we've touched on, is to be a great support mechanism for my clients in business, to help them develop efficient accounting systems so they don't spend all kinds of time and effort doing their books. I mean, unfortunately, we have the IRS, our Uncle Sam, looking over our shoulders, and there are certain requirements and things that must be done. But that doesn't mean you have to spend your whole life doing them. There are systems we can set up to minimize time so that you can have a good accounting system that will give you good information to make good business decisions without having to spend hours and hours and hours on it, so you can spend time in your business, not just sitting there doing the books.
And I assume that you work with your clients throughout the year and not just when January 31st comes up and is heading to the tax season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Business clients I work with all year long, and even personal clients, because things come up with personal tax clients. They'll get a letter from the IRS, or they'll get an inheritance and they're not sure what they do with it, or they'll have an investment decision, or they're retiring. And the company is offering them different packages to retire. So we'll do an analysis to see what might be the best method for them to take their retirement. And basically planning. And just, there are opportunities out there, and you just have to sit with people that know about them so that you can take advantage of them.
Are you a one-man office, or do you have a staff, Joel?
Right now, it's my wife and I, Sheila. We've been married almost 40 years, and we basically ran a practice in Boca Raton, Florida for about almost 20 years. And we've been doing this a long time. We enjoy taking care of people, and We seem to have a knack for it.
Well, I can just tell you have a passion for it, Joel. I'm going to take a very quick break, and then when we come back, let's talk about your passion and when it started for the world of tax codes. Stand by, please.
Okay.
You're listening to Today's Business, 1360 WCHL. My guest today is Mr. Joel Levy, CPA. Please stand by. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now, back to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back. I am talking today with Mr. Joel I. Levy, the entrepreneur CPA. Joel, when did your passion for accounting begin in your life?
Well, that's interesting, an interesting story. It's funny because I started out as a music major.
A music major.
I did. I played string bass. I bass guitar. I had the shoulder length hair. And actually, when I had my practice in Florida for a while, I had the shoulder length hair. And people would come in and say, Joel, you don't look like the typical accountant.
Did you have a VW bus?
Nobody had a VW.
VW, just checking. Okay, that's the rules. Okay.
And... But I liked breaking the mold, let's say. But, you know, as it happened, while I loved music, it didn't offer me the career opportunities that I was looking for. And so when I, it's funny because I was looking for a direction to go, and my mother-in-law was a CPA in New York in the 40s. And my dad being an attorney, I said to him, hey, Dad, what do I need to do to be able to be a good accountant? And he basically said, you need to be able to get along with people.
Interesting.
And when you think about that, I think it's true, because I think one of the things I try to do with my clients is develop a deep relationship. The more I know about them, the more I can help them. And let's face it, when people come to see me, to do their taxes or with a business problem, they're stressed out. And they come in to see me, and if I can make them feel comfortable and give them a sigh of relief, to me, I mean, that is the greatest thing. And I've had clients walk out saying, Joel, thank you for making me feel comfortable. And that, to me, is one of the greatest satisfactions. And I've said to clients, I said, look, if I didn't have to pay my mortgage, I wouldn't have to charge you.
Oh, my.
But unfortunately, there are the practicalities of life.
You've got to eat.
So I have, you know, I like to eat once in a while and everything else that comes up. But for the most part, I just enjoy what I do, and every day is different. I never know what a client's going to call and have a question or an issue or what area I'm going to have to do some research in. And it just makes it very interesting.
Well, now, you started out as a music major. What are your certifications now to be a CPA?
Well, of course, you had to get I had to get my BS, and no, that's not the BS we all think about. but it's the Bachelor of Science in Accounting, and I got that in the City University in New York system up in New York. And once I got that, I passed my CPA exam, and I believe it was 81. That was a long time ago. And since then, I've actually added 6 letters to my initial, my name. And my wife always teases me that I have more letters than she ever saw, but there's only 9.
9?
But obviously, I have, well, Certified Public Accountant.
That's 3.
Okay, that's 3. Mm-hmm. Then I've got MST, which is a Master's of Tax.
Master's of Tax.
I All took right. a master's course at Florida International University about maybe 10 years ago. And it's interesting because I'll never forget the first day I was taking the course. And we go into this master's program. And obviously in the master's program, there are some individuals who had just graduated and are going in to take their master's, you know, in their 20s, early 20s. And here I am in my late 40s. Well, the professor asked one of the young girls there, he says, hey, would you like to pay $1 million in tax this year? And she says, no, I raised my hand quick. I said, I would, you know, and it just kind of showed me, you know, what people learn during their lives
yes.
is that, you know, nobody wants to pay more tax than you have to. But if you pay $1 million of tax,
you made a lot of money.
So I could deal with that.
Oh, goodness. So that's what got you. That's your passion for it. So it's your certification.
Wait. There were three more
letters.
There's
more letters. That's right. We stopped at six. Keep going.
We stopped at six. Then there's PFS. And PFS is Personal Financial Specialist, which is a designation issued by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. And it's interesting because one of the reasons I got that certification was because everyone was trying to sell my clients financial products, whether it be investments or bonds, stocks, annuities, life insurance. And I felt I had an obligation to at least be somewhat knowledgeable about what all these things would do for my clients. So I got that designation. And by the way, that exam was tougher than the CPA exam.
Really? PFS.
Yeah. PFS. Oh. So that's it. I'm done.
That's nine letters. Oh, no more letters to come then, right?
No
that's
more
it. That's as high as you can go in accounting?
No. Two kids, four grandchildren, and I'm good.
You're good. So I got a happy life, Joel. Thank you. Well, I know you practice out of Chapel Hill. Tell us who are your target clients in terms of businesses.
Well, my target client is the businessman struggling to have time to keep his books, struggling to get things filed on time, always paying penalties, never having good financial information to make good business decisions, always feeling behind, not having things entered. And frankly, if you don't keep up with your books, then you're really not keeping on top of where your business is. And in today's economy, every dime, every dollar is so important to look at as to where it's going, where it's coming from. Where are you making your income? Where are you, you know, what customers are generating your most revenue? Is that a profitable sale or is that not a profitable sale? I mean, you need to really look at where your business is coming from and where your net profits are coming from in today's economy. And that's something people kind of take for granted. And too much, they do it off the cuff without really sitting down and analyzing what the best for the health of their business is.
They're probably saying to themselves, how hard can it be? Money in, money out. What else they to worry about?
Touche. Unfortunately, yeah. And you know, back in the old days, you know, it was like back in the old days, back in the 40s and 50s when there were no computers, you know, tax planning was putting the money in your pocket.
Tax planning, yeah.
You know, that's how people tax planned. And unfortunately, that today, to me, that's not an option because there are just too many double checks out there. You're putting yourself at risk. You're putting your rear end on the line. And you're putting your business in jeopardy by not playing by the rules. And by the way, if you do play by the rules, there are plenty of legitimate ways to save taxes without having to not play by the rules.
Understand. I'm talking today with Mr. Joel Levy, CPA. Joel, would you please tell our audience how they can contact you?
Well, my office phone is 919-370-7631. And my email address is jlevy@jilcpanc.net.
Thank you, Joel. Repeat your phone number one more time, please.
919-370-7631.
Thank you. Joel, why are tax codes so complicated? Why is income tax so complicated?
Well, basically to keep CPAs busy.
Job
you know,
security.
You know, I say, and you know, it's funny because I've heard that, you know, is this the Job Security Act of the accountant? And the truth is, Sharon, that when I went into this industry back in the early 70s or mid 70s, if there was a major tax law passed every 5 or 10 years, it was a lot. Now, in the past 2 years, God, I lost count. There might be 14 or 15 new tax laws passed in the past 2 years.
Jeez.
So it becomes very tough to maintain the quality of knowledge of what is available to a client. I mean, in past years, I used to be able to memorize all the exemptions and the limitations and how they would affect clients. And the truth is they change every year now. So it really doesn't pay to memorize them because they keep changing.
They keep changing.
You know,
oh my
goodness. For the first time, you know, I feel comfortable telling a client, let me check. And by the way, excuse me, I have some support for that fact. Every year I take a tax update course, and it's given kind of like a panel discussion of the new tax laws.
Thank you, Joel. Let's talk about that some more in our next segment. You're listening to Today's Business, 1360 WCHL, where my guest today is Mr. Joel Levy, CPA. Please stand by. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back. I'm talking today with Mr. Joel Levy, the entrepreneur CPA. Joel, when we left off, you were telling us about the complexities of the tax laws. Please tell us more.
Sure, Sharon. One of the things I do to make sure I keep up with as much as possible is to take an update course every year. And there's a gentleman that's been doing this for the AICPA for umpteen years, and every year he puts out a video or a CD or whatever. And last year he put out his usual update, and it was kind of like a panel discussion with other CPAs and talking about issues and what do you see and what's in your field and, you know, just all different discussions on different subjects. And one of the questions he asked one of the panelists was, what do you see in the practice of accounting that you do that's different than years ago? And the gentleman thought for a moment, and then he said, you know what, one of the biggest differences, I'm not afraid to say to my clients, I don't know, I need to check.
Isn't that something?
And I think if you think about that statement, it means a whole lot. Number one, yes, there have been a whole lot of changes and things, and it makes it challenging for a reputable professional to keep up. It's not just you sit back and you can keep up with these tax codes. That just doesn't happen. It makes it very complicated. That's why, to me, I get frustrated with people who say, well, I'm going to use TurboTax this year. I'm going to do it myself. And I've told my best friend who I do his return, I said to him, Steve, if you don't feel comfortable with me doing your return because I'm your best friend, I understand that. Whatever you do, use a professional. I spend 365 days a year trying to keep up with the tax laws.
My goodness.
And I will sit here right now and on radio with everyone listening, I'll tell you, I don't know everything. So to sit and follow a program and try to make sure you get every possible deduction, to me, just doesn't seem like it's going to be worthwhile, especially the time it's going to take you to learn TurboTax, to make sure you check off all the right boxes and do it properly. And a lot of times that you're spending hours and hours and hours, whereas this is something that I do every day.
Understand.
You know, it's just like my printer friend, Joe Navarro, over at Chapel Hill Printing. You know, you don't want me to print your brochures, you know, but I certainly want Joe printing them, you know, and he certainly wants me doing his taxes.
Right.
So I mean, there's a great value to that. I actually sat with a client this year who had done his return himself last year. And I'm sitting with him and I said to him, hey, what about this? And he goes, oh, I can deduct that?
Oh,
what about this? Oh, I can deduct that? I more than saved my fee just by asking the right questions and you know, knowing what he was allowed to do.
Well, Joel, you've mentioned how complicated the tax structure has been since you first started to now. What do you see in the future for tax laws, for taxes, period? What are you seeing for the country?
Boy, that's a loaded question. And if I had the answer to that, I probably wouldn't be sitting here. But unfortunately, taxes have become a political football. They have, they're just, you know, trading favors to get different tax laws passed. And while there's a lot of rumbling about, you know, flat tax or overhauling the tax laws, I'm really not really convinced that it's going to happen in our lifetime. I just think that the political process has just gotten so complicated that the special interest groups involved with tax laws, such as real estate, charitable giving, those industries stand to lose a lot should they limit some of the deductions that they might be talking about. Now, if you were to ask me, as a lot of people do when I give seminars or even speaking with clients, they ask me, Joel, what do you think about a flat tax or a fair tax? And honestly, you know, in theory, it sounds like it might be the fairest thing for everybody.
Right.
You know, luckily for me in my profession, I don't see people agreeing to go that route. I just think there are, you know, if you look back at the passage of the tax laws, you'll see that there's always trading going on. And, you know, this side wants this, this side wants that. So they end up with some compromise in the middle. And while that may be better than it was, it's not really great. And, you know, it's like my wife and I kid about the fact that they passed the Paperwork Reduction Act, and it seemed like there were tons more paper after they passed the act. And I'm like,
go figure.
Geez, what's wrong with this picture?
I can imagine.
So, it is challenging, and I don't have a great answer for that. I see that I can't see how they can't raise taxes somehow in the future. You know, to me, you can't just cut, cut, cut. Somehow you need to raise revenue in combination with the cutting and somehow try to get this deficit reduced.
And now we're back to that political football you were talking
That's
about.
That's right.
Some folks
That's
are
right.
adamantly against that.
It's too bad that everyone wants to, you know, draw their line in the sand.
Yeah.
And we, the people, are the ones who get hurt.
Have to suffer with it.
That's right.
I always thought the IRS made the tax laws, but you corrected me on that, Joel. You said it's Congress, right?
That is correct. IRS is really, they're not police, but they are the policemen of the tax code. And you know, it's funny because I get very upset listening to the commercials on TV where they vilify the IRS. And, you know, I don't think that's fair or appropriate because I've been doing this for 35 years. I've had my share of audits for clients that I've represented them, and I have found nothing that has been unfair with the way I've been treated. You know, some are easier than others, but that's personalities of people. Just as an example, I actually went in for an audit with a client who was a taxi cab driver. And I didn't do his return, but he was audited, he had moved, and he lost all his records. So here he reported $17,000 of income on his business return.
Right.
And he showed $4,500 of gas expense. And I had no receipts.
Oh, dear.
So I go to the auditor. I said, look, I've got $17,000 of income, but he lost all his receipts. He said, well, then I can't give you any deduction for gas. He said, I want you to sign off on this. I said, well, I'll sign off on it if you could tell me how someone can earn $17,000 driving
a cab
without spending anything on gas.
Yes, good for you.
Well, and I was, you know, and I was very nice about it. And
right.
I said to him, look, can you call your supervisor in? And I said to him, look, you know, I understand I have no receipt, so I can't demand that you give me the $4,500 deduction. But he's got $17,000 of income.
Common
he
sense.
Had to have spent something on gas. And sure enough, he gave me $3,000 and everyone was happy. And that's what more of what I find with the IRS than the vilifying, we're going to put you in jail, you know, if you don't pay your taxes. I have a hard time believing that.
Well, you hear all these horror stories, as you're saying, maybe fear is what's motivating these businesses to get business by scaring us.
And I think it's some of these companies on TV that say, is the IRS hounding you?
Exactly.
And you know, call us and we'll get you off. And they work some kind of deal and they pay off and everyone makes money, including them.
So, you know. So the IRS isn't all that we hear as a ogre?
No.
Not that bad at all.
Matter of fact, there's another story that I like telling because...
Why don't you tell us that story at the next segment,
okay,
Joel?
I will do that.
Yeah, because we got time for it.
Okay.
You're listening to Today's Business with 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill talking with Mr. Joel Levy. And when we come back, let's hear the rest of Joel's story. Please stay with us.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
We're back. I'm talking today with Mr. Joel Levy, the entrepreneur's CPA. Joel, in the last segment, you were giving us a story, an IRS story. Why don't you tell us the other story about the IRS?
Okay. This is an interesting story, and it kind of proves a couple of different points that we've been discussing. A gentleman came to see me who had done his own return on TurboTax, and he had sold three commercial properties in this particular tax year. He made over $450,000 of net profit and got himself a $22,000 refund. Well, the IRS got his return and sent him a letter.
Oh, dear.
And he kind of knew something was wrong, but he followed TurboTax thinking that TurboTax knows what they're doing. So anyway, so he did the return and he comes to see me when he got the letter. And I said, okay, look, let me go in and I'll see what I can do. So I got all his receipts and went down to the IRS, and I walk into the IRS office, and the woman comes out to meet me and says to me, oh, Mr. Levy, I expected you yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And I said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, my calendar said today. I mean, would you rather reschedule? You want me to come back? I mean, I apologize for a few. No, you're here. Come on in. So I go into her office, and as I'm sitting there, another IRS agent walks by who I happen to have done some audits with in the past, and he gives me a great greeting. Hello, Mr. Levy. How are you? How you doing, Bill? You know? And so he walks away, and she says to me, he vouched for you yesterday.
My
which
goodness.
I thought was the coolest thing.
Yes.
That, you know, he told her that's not like Mr. Levy.
See?
A straight shooter. So that was good.
And your client had to be happy, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And but the best is I went to the agent and I said, look, we have all these receipts here. You and I can sit here for hours and go through them. Or you can let me do a proper tax return, present it to you. You can still want to audit if you want to, but if you'll accept it, then maybe we can save each other a ton of time. And she allowed me to do that. My client wrote a check for $120,000, and he loved doing it because it was he owed the money. He made $450,000.
Put it that way, sure.
You know, he owed the money. He knew it. He knew he had messed up, but he thought TurboTax was right. So in the end, you know, I made a nice fee because I had to go to the IRS and spend time for my client.
Yes.
Whereas he could have come to me, done the return properly, and would have saved that money and would have saved the aggravation of getting an IRS letter.
That's a lesson learned.
It truly is.
Big time. Well, Joel, let's shift a little bit in our last segment, and let's hear more about you, and let's hear your involvement with the town of Chapel Hill, sir. Tell us about your activities.
Boy, where do I start? Well, the town of Chapel Hill, what a great place. I was lured here by a client who's been a client since 94, and he moved here, I guess, about 10, 12 years ago and said, Joel, come take a look. And when my cruise control commute in Florida became a bumper-to-bumper traffic commute, my wife and I look at each other and say, eek, maybe we should take a look.
Like Chapel Hill.
So we came and took a look, and as with most people, we fell in love with the area.
Yes.
So coming to a new area, you know, I was anxious to get involved with the business community, try to get the lay of the land and see where I wanted to develop my business, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the first things I did was join the Chamber of Commerce. And that was great, going to their networking events, meeting people. And I'm not sure the exact timing, but shortly thereafter, I was asked to be on, if I wanted to be involved in the Economic Development and Public Policy Committee of the Chamber.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Okay. So then a client who was the chair of the committee says, Joel, you want to be vice chair? I was, okay,
sure.
Why not? So I became vice chair. And then, of course, when you're vice chair, the next year you become chair.
The chair.
So this year I've been the chair of the Economic Development and Public Policy Committee, which has been a joy because the chamber has hired this gal, Kristen Smith, who has been phenomenal at working in the community, around the elections, and just helping the Economic Development and Public Policy Committee really means something. And what a gem she is for our chamber.
Yes.
Our whole staff of the chamber is phenomenal. From Aaron Nelson, if any of you know the president of the chamber, is just a phenomenal individual.
He's solid.
Who will bend over backwards to help any business that needs it. And everyone from Meg, Laura, Abby, Sam, Justin, they do a wonderful job. They make people feel wanted and appreciate their their being members of the chamber. And it makes you feel good.
They have a passion for their jobs as well and for the city or for the town of Chapel Hill.
Right.
What about the Kidzoo Museum? Tell us about that.
Well, it's funny. Once I got on the Economic Development Committee, I learned that puts me on the chamber board.
You just hold
on. So here I am now. I'm on the board of the chamber. And it's pretty interesting because there are some really, really good people on the board of the chamber who try to do some good stuff. And you know, getting to meet people in the community was good. And, you know, some of the people I met were basically on the board of the Kidzoo Children's Museum, as you mentioned. And what a phenomenal organization, trying to change the face of downtown Chapel Hill with a brand new children's museum just, you know, right on Rosemary behind Franklin Street on the Wallace Deck. We've got architects that we're speaking to. We're going to be building a building over the next 2 years.
Really?
We've got temporary space. We've just put together our temporary space behind University Square. So please go check it out. Any of you with young kids or any of you adults that are still kids, go over there, like me, go over there. And I think the staff did a phenomenal job of putting it together. It looks great. It looks great. And I'm really excited about what Kidzoo is going to bring to the community over the next few years.
I'm going to ask you another question about Kidzoo Museum. But before I do, please give us your contact information one more time, please, Joel.
Okay. My telephone is 919-370-7631. And my email address is jlevy@jilcpanc.net.
Thank you. The Kidzoo Museum, since I've never been there, what are some of the highlights of that museum? Is it hands-on? What makes it so special, Joel? I can tell you have a passion for that museum.
Well, what makes it so special really is the people that work there, because they develop programs for hands-on learning, for developmental skills, different projects. They have a kitchen there where kids can learn putting things together. They have one of these air suction things that balls flow through. I mean, I can't even describe what they are, but they've got all these little, you know, these different stations where kids can do hands-on projects, and at different levels. They have an area for younger kids where they could sit and be like away from maybe bigger kids.
Yes,
running
yes.
And, you know, being uncomfortable. So, you know, the staff has just been great at developing these programs, and everyone from the president to the board on down has you know, almost like working a full-time job.
Yes.
Trying to get this together. It's definitely a working board, and it's been phenomenal.
Well, everybody has to go check that out, including me.
Yes, you need to.
Have to do that. In the 30 seconds we have left, aren't you also a member of the Chapel Hill Leads Group, Joel?
I am. We meet every Wednesday at Extraordinary Ventures, and what a great group. The camaraderie there and the people, always willing to help, always willing to lend a hand, and just be there, whether it's for their fellow members or a food drive to collect for people who are less fortunate.
Veterans or soldiers.
Absolutely. And I'm so for that.
Yes.
I'm so for that.
It's a group that's also from the heart.
Without a doubt, starting from Leon down, who I love the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, this is still America and it's great. And glad to be here.
What a wonderful note to end our conversation with Joel. I thank you so very much for coming and talk to me today. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. I enjoyed it very much.
My pleasure. You've been listening to Today's Business, 1360 WCHL. That's our show for today. Goodbye for now.